My name is Kathy Gett. I'm the host of On the Right ADHD Trail Telesummit. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. I'm excited to share with you this interview I did during On the Right ADHD Trail. For more information on this summit and how you can listen to more, please visit www.ontherightadhdtrail.com. Enjoy. Hello, and welcome to our third annual Telesummit on the Right ADHD Trail. Unfortunately, I had to take last year off due to family losses, but we're back today with 15 highly educated experts in the ADHD field. They will share their knowledge and experience with us to help you climb the pinnacle of success. We're going to fill your backpacks with some of the tools and tips that men with ADHD are challenged with on a daily basis. You will get tips on how to harness your off time, ADHD self-regulation, and digital addiction awareness, finding spiritual connection despite distractions, your money mindset and strategy, sex and ADHD, how to make small talk, and so much more. Let me introduce myself. I'm Kathy Gett, owner of Gett Focus Private Coaching Service. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. You can find out more about my private practice at www.getfocus.com. That's spelled G-O-E-T-T focus. While working with my male clients, I realized that there was so much information and many excellent telesummits that were really geared to women, but not much for the men. So here we are, climbing the trail for the third annual telesummit for men and their loved ones. We realize how busy your lives are, and we don't really have the time to sit down for many hours to listen to this telesummit packed full of information. So you choose when to listen to the pre-recorded presentation or break the day down and backpack packable moments for your on the ADHD trail. But are you already worried, how am I going to find the time to listen this weekend? We have a solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and, special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking. Let's get started and meet our next presenter, Alex High. Alex High is the founder of Reset ADHD. Following his diagnosis at the age of 20, he began a casual study of ADHD, which turned into a passion for learning about ADHD and finding strategies to manage the system. Alex is the author of Catholicism and ADHD, Finding Holiness Despite Distractions, a book that helps Catholics with ADHD manage their symptoms and grow closer to God. While writing this book, he had the opportunity to support a friend who was being tested for ADHD. Writing the book and supporting his friend helped him discover a passion for helping those with ADHD. Alex's presentation is Pray DHD, Finding Spiritual Connection Despite Distractions. A common tip for living one's best life when one has ADHD is to have a spiritual life. However, there are a few resources on prayer and ADHD. So true. This non-denominational presentation seeks to bridge that information gap. ADHD coach and author Alex will discuss the importance of having a spiritual connection when you have ADHD, some spiritual struggles those with ADHD can face, and some tips for staying focused while praying. Thank you, Alex, for coming today. I really appreciate you being on the Telesummit.
Thanks for having me.
You're so welcome. So let's just get right into this. Why is having a spiritual life important when you have ADHD?
Well, it's a great source of connection. Dr. Ned Halliwell, famous ADHD doctor, recommends what he calls the other vitamin C, vitamin Connect. And,
right.
You know, one of the categories he has of connection is spirituality. And so that's a huge source of connection in the spiritual life. And then as far as other reasons why having a spiritual life is important. Wow, tripping over my words. The other reason why having a spiritual connection when you have ADHD is important is there have been studies that show it's beneficial to you. 2014 study found that, you know, praying to a God with a secure attachment, you know, derives clear mental health benefits.
Uh-huh.
In 2017, there was a study where they found that allowing participants to pray about an issue helped improve their subsequent task performance. That same study found that praying about a problem appeared to liberate cognitive resources that are presumably otherwise consumed by worry and rumination. And those
okay.
are just small snippets of a much larger study.
Okay. So what are some spiritual struggles those with ADHD might have?
Well, there's kind of a lot.
Okay.
ADHD affects all of our areas of our lives,
yeah.
and, you know, our spiritual life is part of our lives, and it's affected by ADHD. So one of the main ones is focus, so not being able to concentrate while praying, thinking about things other than praying.
Right.
Yeah. I know for me, sometimes I get into the habit of kind of planning my day rather than praying. I know I've planned like my next two or three meals while I was allegedly supposed to be praying.
yeah.
And then hyperactivity, another common symptom of ADHD. So it's hard to sit still and do something that's generally quite calm. I think for us, though, as ADHDers, it's going to be maybe a little less calm. More on that later.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so the hyperactivity, your mind and or your body wants to do a lot and will not calm down and enter into like a prayerful state. It really gets into the problem of self-regulation we have with ADHD, you know, controlling yourself enough to enter into a prayerful state.
Okay.
And then planning and prioritization is another challenge with the spiritual life in ADHD.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to think, oh, I'll do this later, and then later never gets here. And, yeah, so just remembering how to pray as well. So working memory issues, remembering, oh, yeah, I was going to pray at such and such time.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And then perfectionism can also enter into it. I'm not perfect, so I'm not going to pray. I have to be super holy to pray. I'll pray once I'm fully able to concentrate on it. And all of those are lies that you shouldn't listen to. You don't have to be perfect to pray. But it is something that is a tendency with ADHD is to get into that perfectionism mindset that's going to prevent you from actually like getting into prayer. And then kind of the last struggle I think of with ADHD is negative self-talk. And this was a big one in my life prior to my diagnosis at the age of 20.
Uh-huh.
One of the things I kept saying to myself is prayers, if my spiritual life is so important to me, why can't I focus on prayer? And that led me to question myself and, you know, what does my lack of focus in prayer say about me? And so it was ultimately those types of thoughts that made me say, okay, something here has to change. I need to get into something else. I need to figure something out here. And that's what led me to seek out a diagnosis for ADHD.
So that's really interesting. So the lack of not being able to pray was what really led you to getting your diagnosis of ADHD. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay. That's really interesting. I've never heard anybody say that before, but that's really great. Well, do you have some tips for staying focused while you're praying? Because that's a hard one for me. You know, your mind is just going everywhere. Do you have any tips for this?
Yeah, I have some notes here, and I've come up with 10 tips.
Okay.
Number one, we'll just dive right into them if that's all right.
Yeah. Yes, love to.
Okay, so the first one is the same principle as the first three rules of real estate. Location, location, location.
Okay.
So this is where do you pray? Having a specific spot where you pray. A crowded, noisy place isn't going to work so well. Find a nice, quiet, secluded place to pray. And having a specific spot, you know, in your home where you pray. You know, in my in my house, I've got where I work, where I relax, and where I pray, and where I sleep, all three different places, or four different places.
Okay.
So having that specific place where you pray kind of alerts your brain that it's time to get into prayer.
I like that because I tend to do it in my office, but when I was reading some of the things that you said, I was like, you know, maybe that's why I have a harder time. I need to find a different area for my location. Location. Okay.
Yeah. So my next tip, number two, I call it the Elvis Principle. And that's because one of his songs begins, "Wise men say only fools rush in."
Right.
So that kind of alerts you to the fact that, you know, you should maybe take your time when you're beginning prayer. So ease into it. Maybe even come up with, like, some warm-up prayers. Maybe it takes a few deep breaths to just sort of transition into that prayerful mindset.
Okay.
And then number three is be sensible. And that's sense in all caps, because it's using your senses to kind of cue yourself to stay focused on prayer. So if you're praying in your specific prayer spot, having images up in front of you that are going to help you focus, those could be pictures of holy things. I've had some cool prayer experiences in the mountains. Obviously, you can't pray in the mountains every day. But just having having something you can look at that's going to bring your mind back to prayer. For the sense of smell, could be incense or a specific scented candle that you light only when you pray. Sense of touch, hold on to something, could be prayer beads, could be a cross. You know, they make palm crosses that you just hold in your hand. But it could be anything. Really, just a little cue to help you stay focused on prayer.
Stay focused, okay.
And then the sense of taste. You could have a specific flavor of gum that you only chew when you pray, or a specific flavor of coffee or tea that you only drink when you pray. And then communion is another way to get your taste involved if that's what your church does.
Okay, yeah.
And then for the sense of hearing, music is a great one. I listen to Gregorian chant when I'm praying, but classical music would work. You could also have some ambient noises, just really something that's going to cue you into prayer. So, get as many senses as you can. Go ahead.
Okay, so these senses are all what help you cue into your prayer, these certain things, like you only use this candle at a certain time, or the gum and everything, so this gets you into the moment. Is that, that's what you're saying, is that correct?
Yep, using your senses to alert you that it's prayer time.
Okay. Okay, well, what's number four?
Number four is get moving. You don't have to sit still to pray. You can move about, you can pace. Some people work out and pray at the same time. So that's a great way to sanctify your workout and meditate upon the temple that is your body. I know that's kind of cliche, but it's a good source of meditation. You know, this is how God created me.
Okay, keep moving.
Yeah, so that's number four. Number five is switch it up. Sometimes things just get stale, and you need to try a different prayer method. There are various different types of ways of praying, and so, you know, you can switch from one prayer type to another prayer type. If you do the same thing all the time, it might get stale.
Like,
but it doesn't always have to. Go ahead.
Like when you're saying a prayer type, what do you mean by that for some of our listeners?
It could be like a rote prayer versus meditation type prayer, or, you know, we'll talk later about praying with scripture. So there are a few different methods to prayer, and you know, if you Google methods of prayer, you can find probably lists and lists of different types of prayers. Prayer types, you can switch from one to another, but you can also make small changes within the prayer type you usually use, little tiny things that are going to make it seem new again. The ADHD brain loves novelty, so if you can make tiny little changes to the way you pray, that's going to help you stay focused. It's going to get your brain more engaged.
Yeah, that definitely is what we need. Okay. What's number six?
Number six is pray as you can, not as you think you ought. So prayer is an area of growth. So approach it with a growth mindset. Start where you are. Be okay where you are. And if you can only pray for 5 minutes, that's okay. Pray for 5 minutes. And then work your way up to 10 minutes, to 15 minutes, to however long you want to pray.
Okay. All right. Pray as you can. Okay.
And then number seven, I like to call the Burger King principle.
Okay.
And that kind of goes back to their slogan, have it your way. So pray your way. Everyone has different spiritual needs. So don't compare yourself to somebody else. Find what's going to work for you. So don't base your prayer life on someone else's prayer life. Do what you need to do in order to pray. And that also means ignoring advice that doesn't work for you. So if I say something in this presentation that doesn't really work for you, feel free to ignore it, because you need to find what works for you. Everyone's different.
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Burger King principle, pray your way. All right. What about number eight?
Number eight is sleep. The National Sleep Foundation recommends 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night. And when you're sleep deprived, you're less focused. So prayer will be harder when you're sleep deprived. So get plenty of sleep, and that'll help you focus in prayer.
I knew sleep had a big thing, but I never would put it together with prayer. That's very interesting. Okay. What about number nine?
Number nine is use your word in all caps. And that's what I kind of alluded to earlier, praying with scripture. So reading a bit of scripture and then meditating upon it. There's a great prayer method called Lectio Divina that you can look up that has you meditate on a passage of scripture, sit with it for a bit, read it again, focus on what stands out to you, and see how God can speak to you in that. And, you know, most religions have a sort of sacred text that they read. And so if you take that and meditate upon, you know, what speaks to you within that, that's a great way to stay focused. And it's a great way to let your imagination wander while still being focused on prayer. I once had an amazing prayer experience thinking about feet. There's a gospel passage where this woman would only touch Jesus' feet. And I was so grossed out by that, because feet are gross. And that's all I could think about while I was trying to meditate on the scripture passage. And it made me realize, like, how low she felt and how Jesus raised her up. And so, yeah, incredible prayer experience. It all came from meditating upon scripture.
Meditating on scripture. Okay. I have a hard time with that one because I tend to wander. I'll be thinking about something, and then all of a sudden I'll like, oh, this is not working for me. But I'll have to maybe look up that Lectio. What did you call it?
Lectio Divina.
Divina, okay. I've heard about it before. I'll have to look into it. What is number 10?
And, yeah, number 10 is my last one. It's forgive thyself. Prayer is hard. It's not easy. It's going to be challenging, especially when you have ADHD, and you need to be forgiving of yourself. Obviously, you don't want to excuse, you know, flagrant not focusing, but like the little distractions that come up, that's something you can't control, and you need to forgive yourself when those distractions come up.
Okay. Well, these are 10 very good tips. Would you like to talk about your book that you have written?
Yeah. So It really came out of me trying to figure out my own prayer life and having ADHD. I wanted there to be a book called Catholicism and ADHD, and there wasn't one. So I decided, well, one of my favorite authors only writes books when he has a book he wants to read that doesn't exist. So I decided to take a page from his book and start writing this book and just see what happened. It was really an experiment to see if I could. And yeah,
and you did.
So I did. Yeah. Hooray for me.
Hooray for you. Right.
So, go ahead.
So what do you, in this book, do you give some of these 10 tips or what do you tell us about in this book?
Yeah. So I talk about, there, one chapter is prayer tips. I talk about ADHD in general, how it can wreak havoc in your life, how it can wreak havoc in your spiritual life. And then I talk about what it is, what it isn't. I talk about, as I said, you know, ways that it affects your prayer life. And then, yeah, I get into, okay, how do you find holiness despite having ADHD? How do you live a good spiritual life despite the struggles caused by ADHD. And so, yeah, I get into prayer tips. Obviously, it's focused on Catholicism, so I come up with some saints that can be helpful for the lives of Catholics with ADHD. I talk about several different things. Reasons for Hope. This is the title of the last chapter, Reasons for Hope. And so...
Oh, okay. Okay.
I talk about it being a difficult thing, but I also stress that it's not the end of the world. It is something that can be beneficial if you use it the right way, if you embrace the cross of ADHD.
Oh, okay. Okay. Hope. I like that. Well, I've ordered the book, but I don't have it yet, so I'm looking forward to reading it. I'm curious about your website, Reset ADHD. Why did you call it Reset ADHD?
Yeah, so I called it Reset ADHD because when I was little and playing video games with my older brother, he would always be beating me at the video games. I'm not very good at video games. Still to this day. Anyway, so we'd be playing some sports game, and by halftime it would be out of hand, and I'd want to quit. And he would say, no, keep playing. Maybe it'll get better in the second half. And because I'm the little brother, he's the older brother, I was manipulated into continuing the game. But by the end of the game, it was getting down to the wire. I was still way behind. And I'd want to hit a little button on the N64 called the reset button.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
would start the game over and not save any of your progress. So I figured if I hit that button and the game didn't end, I didn't lose.
Okay.
So that's kind of the philosophy I take towards ADHD. Instead of admitting defeat in the face of ADHD, hit the reset button, start over. And now when I was a little kid, I would use the same strategies when I hit the reset button and we had to play again. And I would still lose. So part of hitting the reset button on your ADHD is coming up with new strength-based strategies to help you with your ADHD.
Okay. I like that reset button. I'll have to think about that when I have some of my clients. Well, we're almost finished with our interview, and I just wondered, would you like to tell them about the free gift that you're offering?
Yeah, it's a little ebook on sleep. So number 8 of our sleep or prayer tips was get sleep. And it's kind of a funny little title. It's Late to Bed, Late to Rise, 5 Ways to Make Your ADHD Worse.
Yeah, I read that.
It's a little tongue-in-cheek. So it's written in the style of, okay, if you want to make your ADHD worse, do these 5 things. And then you get to the end and it says, you know, this is all a joke. You really shouldn't do these 5 things.
You really shouldn't. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it was very catchy. I was like, late to bed, late to rise, 5 ways to make your ADHD worse. Usually you're going to hear somebody... But make it much better. Well, Alex, if people would like to talk to you or contact you, what is the best way that they can get a hold of you?
Then go to my website, resetadhd.com, and fill out the contact form there.
Okay.
Or you could just email me directly, alex@resetadhd.com.
Okay, that's great. Do you have any last words of wisdom for us before we say goodbye?
Oh, persevere.
Ah, I like that word. Persevere, okay?
Yeah,
don't give up
and keep going.
And keep going. That's a good word to end with. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I really enjoyed talking to you. And we're going to say goodbye.
Right.
And just want to say to my audience, thank you for listening. And we will have another presenter in just a little bit. Thank you very much.